This is the Speak for Yourself podcast featuring the best commentary of Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock. I'm your host, Jason McIntyre. Loaded show today. Chris Broussard and Eric Davis are joining us. Whitlock weighs in on the Serena Williams, John McEnroe situation. We're talking about the impact of LaVar and Lonzo Ball on Monday Night Raw. Plus, can the Celtics be the favorite over LeBron next season? Allow me to quickly speak on the Boston Celtics, who are trying to make a run at Gordon Hayward and Paul George, stealing Paul George from the Lakers. This is blowing up, folks. It's setting up for an incredible weekend ahead of NBA free agency madness. First of all, I do think Hayward's going to Boston. I don't see why Paul George would want to play with him. Two small forwards? They're both going to split the points, split the touches. If neither could make third-team All-NBA, who's to say both of them are even going to be All-Stars in Boston? Remember, you also got Isaiah Thomas on that team. I think Paul George is going to want to stay away. I don't think he's going to sign the extension, and I think he's off to L.A. next year. Let's get to the show. Whitlock and Cowherd, take it away.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock, and I'll tell you why Magic Johnson needs to do an intervention on LaVar Ball.
And I'm Colin Cowherd, and I'll tell you how Tom Brady just shocked the world once again. Speak for yourself starts right now.
Shocked the world?
Yeah.
Shocked the world. Brady does what's expected. All right, hello and welcome. We're joined today by Super Bowl champion Eric Davis and the founder of The Big Lead, Jason McIntyre. Let's start with Serena Williams, who is set to grace the cover of Vanity Fair this month, just days after John McEnroe stirred up some controversy by saying Serena would be the 700th ranked player on the men's tennis circuit. Serena responded yesterday, tweeting at McEnroe, quote, "Dear John, I adore and respect you, but please, please, please keep me out of your statements that are not factually based. I've never played anyone ranked there, nor do I have time. Respect me and my privacy as I'm trying to have a baby. Good day, sir." McEnroe, not surprisingly, refused to back down from his comments this morning.
Would you like to apologize?
No. The offer is this, is because it seems in tennis, unlike other sports, that they're always asking about how women, they always ask me how I would do for someone. Why isn't this old bag John McEnroe, how would he do against Serena? Why don't you combine, just solve the problem? I'm sure the men would be all for this. The men and women play together, and then we don't have to guess.
All right, Cowherd, what's your reaction to McEnroe here?
Well, I think the number 700 is the story. If he had said 7th, 70th, but when you say 700th, it's like, whoa, that it's a number. If John would have said, well, yeah, top men are better than top women, we wouldn't have a story today. You put that 700, it sounds like an insult. And I also thought it was a lousy question by the reporter, who is a non-sports reporter. She is a great journalist who'd covered the Middle East. They put her in a sports question. And she goes, why qualify it? Well, because we qualify sports. There's men's scholarships, there's women's scholarships. There's men's leagues, there's women's leagues. Sports is qualified before I get to talk about it. All sports is qualified. There's a men's tee in golf. There's a woman's tee. They qualify it. So I thought it was a reporter who asked a question. John should have asked, hey, what are you getting at? What are you stating? And then when he threw the number 700 out, that sounds like a shot at Serena, who was wildly popular and an amazing athlete, and now you got a controversy.
This is not a controversy at all. This is a product of social media. For this even being remotely a controversy, it proves our addiction to Twitter and how stupid Twitter makes us. What John McEnroe said is completely obvious. Serena Williams has been quoted saying how easily she'd be smoked by the top men's players. He was not in any way, in my view, trying to be insulting.
I agree with that.
But we have set up, through social media, this deal where there are certain special people who you can't even come close to criticizing them, or social media melts down. And Serena Williams, I don't understand why she's responding to this. I don't understand why she's acting like she's been violated and somehow this interferes with her having a baby. This whole thing of playing a victim over anything that gets said is a joke and preposterous. It's unhealthy. He didn't say anything inappropriate
some
or
of it's
insulting.
Just, some of it is science.
Yeah.
I don't think science is sexist. There is a reason the forefathers of sports have separated men and women. Well, we didn't do it. We're just commentators. You played. But there is there's a reason that largely women haven't played in the NFL.
Would Ronda Rousey beat Conor McGregor? I mean, are we having
that discussion? No, Ronda Rousey, yeah. Right?
No, I get what you're saying. I don't think, number one, I don't think that I'm with you. I don't think he was trying to be insulting. He was being an analyst. And so he shouldn't apologize for his opinion as an analyst. I mean, he's a qualified person. He played the game. He watches the game. He watches the men and the women. So when asked a question, he said, this is how I would see it. That's his job. That's what he does. That's right. What we all know McEnroe for right now. As far as Serena Williams snapping back, I don't have a problem with that either. Because she didn't get into it saying you're wrong and it shouldn't happen this way or I would beat this person or that person. She just basically said, guys, pump your brakes right now. I'm not even on the circuit. I'm trying to have a baby. I don't have to make headlines. I don't have to make headlines on that. But also, Serena presents herself as this strong woman that, you know, girls follow and you can accomplish things and you can do all of these things. And I don't have a problem with that. I think she's a great example for my daughter, my 21-year-old daughter. So her doing those type things, I don't have an issue with it. I don't think she was upset, as everyone believes her to be. As you said, she's already stated that she knows that she couldn't beat some of these top
guys. Of course
guys.
She does.
Yeah, this is Whitlock's 100% right. This is a social media thing. If we don't like what people say on social media, we hit the block button. You know, the young millennials, they can't handle the truth. Not to steal a line from Jack Nicholson, but they don't like hearing anything negative. Oh, really? That's bad. Apologize to that person. Why? He didn't say anything. I don't understand why they can't handle the truth right now. And this is nothing negative whatsoever. It's like the real world is harsh, and this is reality. John McEnroe is right.
But when this story came out yesterday, I text you.
Yep.
And I do that once a week. I said, oh, this will be a controversy. And you said, what's controversial? And I was thinking, nothing, but this is 2017, where this now is controversial, where sports have been legislated to separate men and women. We have done that due to fairness. So what McEnroe, and by the way, the 701st rated men's tennis player has 7 singles titles and played in the Davis Cup. He beat Serena too. It's okay. He's a really good player. He's a tremendous, I've played golf with an LPGA pro. I've played golf with a PGA pro. They're different sports.
Colin, you follow women's soccer closely.
Yes.
You know that the U.S. women's national team scrimmaged a 15 and under team this year and lost to them. Got crushed by them. News was out there. It's not a shot against the women's national soccer team. It's, like you said, science.
But guys, don't get it twisted. Serena would beat some of these guys. And she would beat guys rate higher than 700. Reason being, she's been in that arena. There are some guys that haven't been in that arena. They haven't been in Arthur Ashe with all of those people bearing down on them, with that pressure on them in those types of circumstances. And that comes into play as well. So we're taking this way too deep. As I said,
I don't know if it's us though, Eric. And I do know you have a lot of insight into tennis, and I believe maybe Serena would occasionally beat, who knows, the 200th best player. Who knows? Who cares? But on a consistent overall basis, what John McEnroe is talking about isn't a shot at Serena.
No,
she's
I agree.
She's still the greatest accomplished tennis player we perhaps have ever seen.
And
yes.
Also, I believe last year made more than every NFL player except Peyton Manning in endorsements. She's not only great, she's appreciated. Companies appreciate her, give her millions for their products. So it's not like she's underappreciated.
If you're a NASCAR fan, there's a new podcast for you to subscribe to. Heritage Road, the podcast that drives you down memory lane, takes you under the hood, and gets you behind the wheel of America's favorite racing competition. They've talked to the hardworking drivers, crewmen, and fans that made NASCAR possible then and now. From NASCAR royalty Bobby Allison to the broadcasters that brought racing into homes around the country, they've got all the stories you've probably never heard before. Hosted by the voice of Texas Motor Speedway, Rich Phillips. Brought to you by Busch, the beer that has supported racing since 1979. Subscribe to Heritage Road today for free wherever you listen to podcasts. Now let's get back to the show.
Let's move to pro wrestling. Yeah, baby. LeVar Ball and two of his sons made a predictably bizarre appearance at WWE Raw at Staples Center last night. Let's watch, shall we?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome LeVar Ball.
I can't believe Miz was able to land this. What fantastic guests.
Now we know what the Miz stands for. It stands for a million zippers. Oh, see, zippers.
It's amazing. I hear you always talking.
It's only two dudes better than me, and I'm both of them. Boy, you better stay in your lane, or the hunt is on, and you the prey. Oh, boy, you making me shoot. Okay. Oh, put your clothes back on, Buck, man. You ain't the only man home.
Oh, no. Wait, is Ambrose the voice of reason? I can't believe I'm saying that phrase.
You don't want none of this, because I'm real with it.
Okay, LeVar, you just keep doing your thing.
All right, Whitlock, we saw Lonzo there. He's now an NBA player. Should LeVar stop involving Lonzo in his shtick?
Well, I think we showed all the enjoyable moments from that. And when I first saw this story last night, I just laughed and thought, again, I think LeVar is doing this transition into an appropriate role for himself. He has a sense of humor. He has some self-awareness. He can laugh at himself. And then I went and saw some of the other stuff. His 16-year-old, 15-year-old son dropping the N-word and cussing on live television twice. Then I saw Lonzo introduced at Staples in Los Angeles for the first time. And there was a mixture of cheers and boos. And I said, well, he's made Lonzo polarizing. Lonzo Ball is a great young kid that everyone's comparing to Magic Johnson and all these. Magic Johnson wasn't polarizing, particularly early in his career. He just brought joy to you or whatever. Lonzo Ball should not be polarizing in any way. That's a byproduct or a consequence of his father's trolling of America.
Well, it's funny. Like, as a dad, I know my kids make mistakes. But what I always kind of feel as a dad, I want to give my kids the best chance at success. Now, they're going to make mistakes. But when his son's dropping the N-word on live TV, I think you're setting your kid up to fail. I mean, to be on live TV in your young teens, my kids wouldn't be ready for it. I think a parent's role, I understand the promotional part. I've defended LeVar a lot on the show. I do think at times he's putting his kids in positions to fail, whether it's polarizing or whether it's being on live TV. And I've never felt comfortable as a dad that being my role.
Even though you guys see both sons there cracking up as their dad takes off his shirt on national television, you don't think there's something cool to that? I think the players, both of them, love this. And I frankly think he's a businessman.
You know, I love ice cream, too.
Oh, stop it.
No, I do. I mean, I love ice cream.
This is fun. LeVar Ball's reaching a brand new audience, a wrestling audience. You think they're having him on the show 3 months ago? No way. He's now got the number two pick overall, who's going to the second largest market in the country, the number one franchise in the NBA. This man's got shoes to sell, tank tops to hawk. He's shoving everything down everybody's throat. I think this is what we're going to see from him for the next few years.
Yeah, and he can't stop involving Lonzo. No. I mean, that's it. That is the shtick. You say don't involve him. That would be like Flavor Flav not talking about Public Enemy. seriously. You have to. There was no Flavor of Love if he didn't do that. You have to build the brand. That's what he's trying to do right now. So he's going to involve all of that. You talk about the mixed crowd going into Staples, but that's a wrestling crowd. It's a completely different crowd. That's a different, completely different ticket buyer.
Yeah, that's a good point. So Lakers crowd.
Yeah, that's a major. There's a major, major difference in that. And as far as the 16-year-old dropping the N-word, I've had 16-year-old boys, and you think that they are prepared for certain things, and there are certain things that they may not say or do around you. But when they think you're not listening and they're with their friends and they
do things. And they're in front of 16,000 people.
I can agree with you on the fact that maybe they were in a situation that they weren't prepared for. They're 16. And there are a lot of situations that I know that I, at my age now, I'm well prepared for that. I was not prepared for it at 16.
Isn't your job as a dad to keep them out of those spots?
Well, your job as a dad is to raise your kids to be good kids, respectable kids, to give them the opportunities to do the things. And
you'd want your 16-year-old son on TV.
No, I would not, but I would like to think that he wasn't. But I can tell you what, my 16-year-old son did some things that I didn't think he would have done.
I'm sure you guys both did.
I did many things at 50 that I shouldn't do. But again, I ain't doing them in front of my mama. I ain't doing them in front of my daddy.
They're not amplified on national TV.
Right. I'm not doing them on national TV.
But you're saying it like the expectations of LeVar was that his son would do those things.
I'm not. I'm saying, again, there was no reaction from LeVar. Trust me. And my father, I'm telling you, was as street and as ghetto as you could be. If I got on national TV at 16 or 50... and did what his 16-year-old son did, my father would pop me in my mouth and dare anybody to do anything about it.
I think your father would have popped you in your mouth if he was going to pop you afterwards. He, in the middle of that performance to get that check, he would have finished the performance.
And don't forget the check. It's the reality show that's coming next.
You're speculating about my father. Now, trust me. But he would have shut the whole thing down. Ain't nobody going to put nothing on his name in front of him that's embarrassing. He's not going to tolerate or allow that.
But you're also assuming that all this stuff right here that happened, that LeVar was a part of the plan and that he knew what was going on, he heard all of it, and that he's not getting on his kids right now about it.
Here's what I'm saying. He's making his kids polarize. If that's the lane LeVar wants to be in, no problem. My 16-year-old, I'm not involving him in my stay in your lane controversy. I'm not bringing him on national TV in that T-shirt, dragging him into that controversy. I'm certainly not allowing him to go on TV and think in any remote way, you're going to embarrass me by cussing.
Can I throw this out there? The Kardashians, L.A.-based.
Yeah.
Let's go 15 years ago. And there was a lot of things people said, why is Kris Jenner doing this? And it's all turned into massive business, and the kids have organically grown through some mistakes. I wonder, not to speculate, but I will here, that if LeVar has watched the Kardashians and said, that thing started with a sex tape, went into different businesses, boyfriends, controversy, and in the end, they've all got little mini empires.
Let's remember, these guys don't have any arrests on their record. If a curse word on national television is the worst thing.
Yeah, that's so weak. I'm great. We're supposed to applaud every time somebody doesn't have an arrest on their record.
No.
That's what you're supposed to. I'm not killing him. I'm talking about his father and what he allows. Listen, man, LeVar Ball can do his own thing without dragging his kids into the controversy.
Can't. I think it's a package deal.
If he wants to be responsible, because again, we keep talking about the Kardashians and everything. I applaud them for the money they make, but there are people in America who are like, I wouldn't do that. I don't care how much money you made doing that.
Agreed.
I'm not doing that. Because you can do a lot of things. A lot of things a lot of people do that make a lot of money that I'm not going to do.
And you can also come back for saying the N-word twice on TV as a 16-year-old and still do a whole lot of good. That's what I'm saying.
Welcome back, Eric Davis. Jason McIntyre here. Let's move to Tom Brady, who was just voted the best player in the league in the NFL Network's annual survey of players. You see there, the almost 40-year-old Brady came out ahead of every player in the league, including other quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers and last year's league MVP, Matt Ryan. Whitlock, are you surprised players voted Brady the best in the National Football League?
I really am. I'm shocked because there's this love-hate thing with the Patriots and Brady. A lot of people are jealous of all the success, and they think Brady gets away with, Deflategate, and Bill Belichick gets away with Spygate. And so I am shocked, but it's a testament just to how much respect is out there in the league for Tom Brady among his peers. They may hate the guy for his success, but they respect the hell out of him. And, what is he, 39, 40 years old and ranked number one by his peers?
I wasn't surprised at all because players are massively reactionary. Cam Newton was number one last year. He's number 44. Is he really 43 spots less talented? Matt Ryan wasn't on the list last year. Oh, now he's 10th. Really? There's no way Matt Ryan's the 10th best player in this league. He is not.
He plays the most important position. Just won the MVP.
And had a great year finally with a tremendous offensive coordinator.
Finally.
And they gave him incredible offensive parts.
Finally.
Players, first of all, how old are most players? 23 to 30. They're young men. I was much more reactionary at 26 than I am at 50. Young men get caught up. They're on video. They fall in love. You know, once you're 50, you're just trying to get out of bed and not hurt.
But listen, you can't underestimate this. They just won a Super Bowl without Gronk, and they added Brandon Cooks. This is going to be the best receiver crew they've ever had in New England, better than the Randy Moss year. They got Amendola, Edelman. This team is positioned. I know we've talked about it a little bit. There could be some 16-0 chatter come August, guys.
No, I agree with you.
This team's loaded. Brady, I do believe in the last hurrah. I'm not surprised that this is happening.
As far as the best player in the league vote, I can see it happening. Because you look at the season, number one, the vote happens before the Super Bowl. So it's like a end of the season playoff time. And if you look at what Brady did after the suspension, he was playing at a very high level.
Yeah,
so I can see guys doing it because it was an MVP type year, which is a quarterback. It's not MVP is really the best quarterback award. That's what it is. And he was playing at that level, so I can see guys doing it. Yes, it is reactionary, and I hear you saying you can react to new information. Matt Ryan is not the 10th best player in the league.
He's not the 50th. That's it.
He's not the 50th, but he's not the 10th best either. And every quarterback, just because he plays the hardest position doesn't make him the best player in the league.
Most important.
It's the hardest thing to do in professional sports, but it still doesn't mean that you are the best player just because you're good at it.
You know what? Also, I think it is, like you said, Whitlock, it's a little tip of the cap, is that I think players are looking at this, and it's almost out of respect. You're like, it's almost like how Sinatra was treated, like out of his prime. He wasn't the best singer, but every singer was like a fan of Sinatra. Yeah.
Well, the thing with Brady was grinding. It's not just respect, because you got to think about it. Number one, every player in the league doesn't vote, okay? And then there are a lot of players that voted for. There are a lot of rookies in this league because you go to the young guys because they can get them to do this vote. There are a lot of rookies who haven't even played against Brady, okay? They didn't play him. Everyone doesn't play every team every year. So there are a lot of guys just going off of what they hear, what they see.
I just want to know, am I hearing from this side of the room that all the players are stupid and it's a bad vote? Is that what y'all basically?
No. I'm not saying I work this vote. I've worked this show. Everyone doesn't vote.
I get it. But this is a reflection, I think. I don't care if everyone votes. Not everyone votes for president or congressman or whatever. Right. But this, to me, I think is reflective of what the players think.
And by the way,
partially, but you know what's more reflective of what the players think? If you want to look at the Pro Bowl ballots, which that's what always gets me about this list. Like, how can you be a starter in the Pro Bowl but not make this list? Because the players vote on who they think are the best players.
So the fans are part of the Pro Bowl vote.
No, I think the players mostly got it right. But I also think players are reactionary. Cam 1, Cam 44. By the way, Dak now is ahead of Big Ben, Andrew Luck.
But you're acting like there should be no reaction to last season and how you vote.
No. I'm saying you can't go from Blake Bortles was on the list last year and Matt Ryan wasn't to he's now 10. That's overreacting.
I can react to, because the one where I'm really upset about is this Matt Ryan dirt y'all throwing on this man. This man played a hell of a season.
Matt Ryan
has put together a hell of a career.
But no, let me say this.
He plays the most important position, and I don't have any problem with him being number 10.
He missed the playoffs 3 years
Matt
in a row
Ryan,
before going to the Super Bowl.
Matt Ryan had an MVP caliber season. Okay, right. Well, now you're talking about the best players in the league. That's like I'm saying, like Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is 15 on this list. He's not the 15th best player in the NFL.
If this was baseball players, okay, and all of a sudden a guy for the Indians who'd had a good career had a great season. Am I supposed to say he's one of the 10 best players? No, sometimes you have a great season. There have been some outliers. Mark Sanchez went from the AFC Championship to butt fumble. I mean, he was never as good as that or as bad as that.
Matt Ryan will be in the top 5 of the MVP vote this year.
What?
The Panthers just released a video of Cam Newton throwing for the first time since he had shoulder surgery back in March. Cam struggled for much of last season and admits that public perception was part of what drove him to play through the injury, saying, quote, "I knew it was going to hurt, continuously hurt. No matter what the treatment was, it takes just one hit or fall, and it's going to inflame again. Some of it was stubbornness, but I wanted people to know what I'm willing to do for this franchise at the end of the day. No one could say I quit." Colin, are you worried Cam cares too much about his public perception?
Well, I always think he has, but And that's okay. I've said before, we confuse, like, great player for great leader. Like, I think Kobe was a great player. I don't think Kobe was a great leader. I really don't. I think Magic was a great leader. I think Brady's a great leader. I think Aaron Rodgers is a world-class talent. I've always thought Cam, big, strong, is a world-class athlete. I think Russell Wilson's a better leader. I think leaders don't get caught up in criticism. I mean, would Bill Belichick literally call a meeting? I am beside myself on what the Boston Herald wrote today. Leaders. Do you think Obama lost sleep over the Des Moines Register?
Yeah.
I think of leadership is not worrying about criticism, being stronger than little voices taking shots at you.
I think what Cam has said here is completely honest and transparent and authentic. And I think a lot of players, particularly of his age group, care about their public perception. The guy was just real here. I don't think he's done anything here that other quarterbacks and other players haven't done that Eric Davis probably did on a year-to-year basis, play through injury, play through pain. That's what you do in the NFL. Him acknowledging, look, I don't want people to think I'm a quitter. I think it's just real. I got no problem with it.
Now, what he's going to get, and you're right, you're going to play through the pain, and I also, looking at the guys, when I first saw this question, he cares too much about his image. What's too much? All the guys care about. Why does Dez throw up an X when he scores a touchdown? Why does Von Miller do his little dance after he gets a sack? Why does AB drive around in a Rolls that has businesses booming on the side? They all care about their image. Now, what Cam has to learn, when you're talking about how people view me, and I wanted them to know that I would get out and play through this. No, I don't need you to play hurt. I need you to perform hurt. If you can't perform and do your job at the level I expect you to do it at, you're hurting the team. So that's the thing about playing through an injury. I can play through this injury if I can do my job. If I'm just out here to show that I'm out there, that's an immature thing. You're hurting the team. And as far as being the leader of that team, you got to be more mature than that, and you got to stand up. I can't go. I can't go right now. I know he's not my talent, but he can give you guys more right now. I'm going to get healthy. I'll be back. Hold it down until I come back.
I like how you mentioned those other players, but I do want to point this out. Cam is above those guys when it comes to trend setting. This is a guy who's showing up at Coachella in a romper, and he gets in GQ because of that. He starts the dab. It goes national. He's sitting front row at sporting events with the huge hat on, and now everybody's wearing that hat. Cam Newton is above the fray when it comes to that. He loves the public perception. He wants to be the man. I don't necessarily think that that's a great idea after what happened last year. I think he needs to dial it down definitely. This is a guy who celebrated, Colin, all 2 years ago, every first down. Boom! Stand up. Like, shoving it in people's faces. What is with that? Why
is he
doing
that? I do think the NBA has been a players' league my whole life. In the 70s when I watched a players' league. The NFL's been owners' shield league. There's two players in this league that are kind of moving the league. Odell Beckham and Cam are relevant socially, relevant fashion, move digital, move products, have endorsable things they wear. Cam and Odell, and this may make some people, including people in the league, uncomfortable, they're a little NBA. They're 70% NFL, they're 30% NBA, and I just don't think we're used to that.
Yeah, and they got no jewelry. You done took me from defending Cam to now having to go against, you know. So I want to, Eric, your point about being a great player and being a great performer. And, you know, again, Cam can say, hey, I'm a better quarterback, I'm a better player than Derek Anderson, but this week can I outperform him?
There you go.
That was an issue for Robert Griffin III in Washington. I pointed this out very early in his career in that Seattle playoff game. He stayed out there on that bad leg.
Yes.
When he should have taken himself out of the game, that put him at odds with the players in that locker room, the coach on that team, and it ended up destroying his career. You flipped me and made this is a concern, because if I'm going to be out there and be a player versus I can perform and help my team, he's hurting his team, and this is an issue of concern.
Welcome back. Chris Broussard, Jason McIntyre. Let's move to the Celtics. This is interesting. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, they're working hard to acquire both Gordon Hayward from the Jazz and Paul George from the Pacers. Boston needs to sign Gordon Hayward first, though, once free agency starts on Saturday. Then would be able to maneuver a trade with Indy that would likely include some of the draft picks Danny Ainge has been hoarding for years. Whitlock, would adding Gordon Hayward and Paul George, put them together, does that make the Celtics the favorite in the East?
I think it would. I think that that group of young people, Isaiah Thomas, Paul George, Gordon Hayward.
A better bench, a better coach.
They got a tremendous coach in Brad Stevens. Yeah, I would make them the favorite in the East.
I think it'd be real close. I still would have the best player on the court in more big games, and I think Kyrie is the best finisher. In the NBA playoffs, historically, best player and then the second best player, best finisher, usually win a series. But I do think Boston would have a slight coaching edge, a bench edge. It's close. I'd still take LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love. I still would.
Yeah, I'm
close.
With you. Boston would be great, and on paper they would look terrific. I would side with LeBron James as long as he doesn't, you know, he's going to fall off at some point. As long as he's the LeBron we just saw, they're still the favorite in the Eastern Conference. And Gordon Hayward has kept improving. He's great now. But how's he done it? Now he's handling the ball a lot more, making plays for his teammates. Paul George, same thing. Isaiah Thomas has never been a distributing point guard, never averaged more than 6 assists a game. So I don't think those three come together as quickly as the previous Boston big three.
That's a good point, but I'm going to take the Celtics. Here's why. Do you guys remember who played the Cavs the tightest in the Eastern Conference?
They won a game, right?
It was the Pacers. 4-1? They did not win a game. They were swept.
Oh, oh.
But it was the closest sweep. Hold on. Closest sweep in NBA playoff history. 16 points.
Oh, oh,
and
okay.
Paul George went toe-to-toe. I know you don't like this. Paul George went toe-to-toe with LeBron. He against LeBron. Again, LeBron's turning 33 in December, Chris. 14
what
straight
was the
years.
Result again?
I know it was
4-0?
A sweep. I got it. But again, better coach. Isaiah Thomas and Gordon Hayward. You said he's ascending. I don't think we've seen the best Gordon Hayward. He's going to be surrounded with a great supporting cast.
By the way,
I'm taking the Celtics.
Four times Cleveland beat Boston. If you think the personnel's close now, the average margin was over 25 points. Boston wasn't even competitive against Cleveland.
And the game they won, now I'm not trying to make a huge deal out of it. Isaiah Thomas didn't play.
Marcus
Remember
Smart
that?
Went off, had like 8 threes, I think.
Hey, just hold on, though, guys. We're talking about adding 2 All-Stars.
So now you have 3.
No,
just
but
like Cleveland.
Again, the number one seed in the East is adding 2 All-Stars, and we don't think that would
you
swing
know they
the series.
Weren't the best team.
No,
in
no,
the
I get it.
They won
but
53
still,
games, though, Bruce.
They're adding 2
games.
All-Stars
by the way,
to a great coach.
By the way, if Rondo doesn't get hurt,
yeah, they
Boston
may
be out first round.
Very true.
Great coach, 2 additional All-Stars, won 50-some-odd games.
So now you've got 3 All-Stars. We've got 3 All-Stars.
And who's got the better
Cleveland,
depth?
And who's the better player?
Who's got the better depth?
Oh, wait, Boston went 7 games with Washington and fell into a hole against Chicago. Danny Ainge has 22 draft picks in the last 22. 0 All-Stars. This team ain't that talented. They're not that talented.
53 wins and they're not that talented.
53 wins is nothing to write home about.
By the way, 2 All-Stars.
Cleveland could have won 65 if they tried.
These are lower-end All-Stars.
They didn't try.
Gordon Hayward didn't make first 3 teams All-NBA, did he?
No.
So he's a lower-end All-Star.
He's a lower-end All-Star. He could have easily not made the All-Star team.
But they're ascending.
This is the Speak for Yourself podcast featuring the best commentary of Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock. I'm your host, Jason McIntyre. Fun show, everybody. Remember, we're on Apple Podcasts. Check us out on Instagram. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook. We love your comments. See you tomorrow.